the reflection. The community is based on equality, mutuality, and reciprocity. It affirms the richness of individual diversity, as well as the common human ties that bind us together. Welcome to those of you who are here worshiping with us, and those who are at home on Zoom or YouTube or Facebook. We're so grateful to have you here. Thank you. Now a few announcements. We will continue to use masks, and no reservations are needed for coming to worship. The Learning for a Lifetime offering today is right after worship in room 9 and 10, and the topic is justice, mercy, and a humble walk. There are several mission opportunities for you, so you look for them in the bulletin or when you see the announcements. We're collecting clothing for Cameron Community Center, cleaning supplies for Afghan refugees, and Operation Christmas Shoeboxes are already starting. So if you, like me, have loved doing that, find a shoebox and start buying cute toys for children that will fit in there. So please look at those announcements when you can. And now Todd Fargo has an announcement.
Good morning. The Worship and Music and Technology Committees have been working hard to provide access to our Sunday services in many ways. If you have been in the sanctuary in the last few months, you may have noticed the new technology desk in the back next to the soundboard. Jay Petrino and Todd Hall have worked tirelessly to prepare a new system for virtual access to the service, and we're excited to start transitioning to that system soon in order to make it easier to access worship services remotely. If you have participated in the service via Zoom, you will have noticed that Zoom has inherent audio and video limits which affect online streaming quality. For this reason, the Technology Committee recommends transitioning away from Zoom for Sunday worship services, especially with the improved quality output of the new streaming system. This will make accessing worship much easier, as no password will be required. Zoom will still be used with YouTube and Facebook for all four Sundays in November, so starting next week. But then only YouTube and Facebook will be used starting Sunday, December 5th. You can access the YouTube and Facebook links from the bulletin or that you receive in the email, or by going to the church website, WebsterPres.org, and clicking on the links there. You can also access the service during the week by clicking on those same links, so you can see the wonderful changes in the picture and sound through using the new system. In other words, the services that are being streamed on the new system are on YouTube for you to watch from the past. The Worship Committee and Technology Committee have agreed to begin streaming from the new system beginning Sunday, November 7th, next week, at 9:30, and continue this as our new access to the Sunday service. Thanks to your patience and energy to learn and grow with technology throughout 2020 and 2021. If you have any questions or comments, please share them with Jay or Todd in the back, or myself, Alyssa, Mayor, or Bob Blakey. If you have not gone to YouTube yet, by the way, to see the way it streams now, you should, because it looks really, really good. Thank you.
now let us unite in the call to worship, and it's followed by the invocation. Hear, O people of God, our God is one. Hear the commandments of God. God is gathering the people. First, love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Hear, O people of God, our God is one. Recite the commandments to your children and hold them in your hearts. Second, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these calls to love. Amen. And now the invocation. O Holy One, source of all life and ground of all love, we thank you for your love that never lets us go. Thank you for the privilege of gathering in this space with these, your people, our neighbors, to worship you. We do not come merely to open the doors of the church, but we come that our hearts might be opened to you and to one another. As we worship you today, help us to respond to the call of love, to love you, our neighbors, and ourselves. May we be transformed from individuals to members of your one body. We pray for our nation that we be united as a people tied to a single garment of destiny. We pray for those elected officials who serve all citizens, that they may be guided not by ego, politics, or money, but by compassion for all people. Guide us as families, as a community of faith, as a nation, to follow the path of love. Amen. And now let us join in a hymn of praise, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, 260.
Thank you.
Let us unite in the prayer of confession, then followed by a brief moment of silence for prayer. Again and again, you call us to care for widows and orphans, to advocate for those in prison, to welcome the strangers. O God, we hear your call, but all around us we hear the cry that there is not enough for all, and that some are undeserving. Again and again, you call us to love you with our whole heart, understanding and strength. Such love demands that we seek justice for those who are oppressed, poor, and forgotten. O God, we hear your call, but all around us are competing calls of worldly loyalties, political parties, and public acclaim. Again and again, you urge us to seek you first. We long to trust the path of love for you and our neighbors as ourselves. Yet we fear that our land of milk and honey has become a land of moral famine and economic hardship, and we wonder at times if you have abandoned us. Again and again, you urge us not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge you. And yet, we are often distracted by the clamor of fear dressed up as reason. As we prepare our hearts and minds in these days, you remind us to follow you so that it may go well for us, our neighbors, our nations, and our world. Yet too often we forget to observe your statutes of compassion and your ordinances of justice. And now the words of assurance. Hear the word of God for this season and all seasons. Do not be afraid. I will never leave you or forsake you. Know that our God, who began a good work in us, is able to complete it. As we open ourselves to the Spirit of God, may we see more fully the wonder of God already at work in us. And so it is. Amen. You can stay standing and we can enjoy a moment of socially distanced greeting and blessing. God's peace. And Domenico, you can go with Mrs. Galen.
Thank you.
like that hymn. Nice and upbeat. And it reminds us how we should live. Let us hear the first reading, scripture reading, from Psalm 146, 1 through 10. It is a psalm of praise for God's help. Praise to the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Church will stand. Thank you, choir. Thank you so much. with science one day. Our lesson this morning comes from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 to 34, and it reads, "One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he had answered them well, he asked him, 'Which commandment is the first of all?' Jesus answered, 'The first is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other, and to love him with all our heart and with all our understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. This is much more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom.' After that, no one dared to ask him any question." Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And the people all said together, Amen. Amen. Good morning. A writer for a Florida newspaper, the Weekly Challenger, Jennifer Gamble III, says of the North Star that the North Star is the anchor of the northern sky. It is a landmark or a sky marker that helps those who follow it determine direction as it glows brightly to guide and lead toward a purposeful destination. To guide and lead toward a purposeful destination. In the 19th century, Rochester was home to Frederick Douglass and home to the anti-slavery newspaper he published called The North Star. Now, the North Star is, the real North Star, is called Polaris. Polaris because it sits above the North Pole. And long before satellites were used for navigation, stars were used for traveling and finding our way around. The three wise men found their way to Jesus following what we know as the Star of Bethlehem. Sailors used maps, a device called a sextant, and stars to navigate the seas. When the navigation system of the NASA Apollo 13 mission failed, the crew used stars to find their way back to Earth. Enslaved Africans used stars to find their way out of American bondage to freedom in the North. Enslaved Africans clandestinely sang a song with the words, "Follow the drinking gourd," in reference to the stars we commonly know as the Big Dipper. They knew that if they followed the stars that made up the Big Dipper, that would light a path to freedom in the North. In the daytime, those same escaping for freedom used the sun, the Earth's nearest star, to help with their journey. They knew, I knew, and I hope sure that you do, and most Boy Scouts know, that the sun reliably rises in the east, travels through the southern sky, and sets in the evening in the west. Stars help us to orient ourselves. To say North Star is to invoke a symbol with different meanings for different people. The idea of the North Star for many is that it is a beacon directing our paths, giving us hope, and leading us toward a purposeful destination and a meaningful one. This morning, I use as a theme spiritual North Star. This morning, my counsel is that you have a spiritual North Star, someone and something that can guide you in your life, something that can guide your spirit, guide your heart, and everything that comes your way. I suggest that you have a spiritual, that your spiritual North Star always be Jesus, and that it always be the counsel of Jesus. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. With this as your spiritual North Star, you'll know what direction to orient your heart and your spirit in. Now, back in September, I was at a church conference, and in a casual conversation with another conference attendee, it was said of clergy that generally implied, yet unwritten, an unwritten part of our responsibility is that we encourage people and we encourage the church as a whole to take the counsel of Jesus and love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What I have come to understand is captured in the words, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, is those words are the church's call to worship God, love the Lord. Captured in the words, love the Lord with all your mind, is the church's call to study. And captured in the words, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, is the church's call to mission. Now, allow me just a few moments to share some thoughts, and I will remove myself as an obstruction to the path that leads to the Buffalo Bills game against the Miami Dolphins. We've got plenty of time. Kickoff is not until 1 p.m., and you can watch it on CBS. We've got plenty of time. Our lesson is set in motion because one of the scribes, one of the teachers of the law, one of the day's theologians asked Jesus, which commandment is first of all? Now, we may forget, or it's not emphasized enough, that the whole point of what we know as commandments and what we know as books of the law is they exist for the well-being of the community. We forget, or maybe it's not emphasized enough, that these commandments emerge from what facts were known at the time and what the social norms were at the time. Some of the commandments were enduring and necessary to keep the community intact. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Other commandments, other aspects of the Hebrew law sought to keep the community intact as well. But the open mind quickly sees, or maybe not so quickly sees, but the open mind sees that some of the law, some of the commandments were bound by the facts known at the time, but also came to exist in the context of a patriarchal class structures. And if we are honest with ourselves, we have to admit that the same thing happens today. Legislature and laws are put into fit place that enforce patriarchal laws, laws that might be good for the patriarchs. Our lesson is set in motion because one of the scribes, one of the day's theologians, one of the teachers of the law asked Jesus which commandment is first of all. You already know the answer is love the Lord and love your neighbor. But just in case you have not thought about it, justice is what loving your neighbor looks like in public. Justice is what loving your neighbor looks like in public. And to be quite honest with you, and I'm speaking for myself now, I am really baffled by those in the Christian community who stand in opposition to the concept of social justice. It's as if for some reason they ignore the commandment, love thy neighbor. Or maybe they have not heard what you do for the least of these, you also do for me. The 18th century French philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Now let me ask, how many people have heard of Jean-Jacques Rousseau? Okay, that's better than Eddie Grant. All right. The 18th century philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau wrote a book entitled The Social Contract, which was preceded by a book called Discourse on Inequality. But the book, The Social Contract, is credited with inspiring social reforms in Europe and making the lives of all citizens better. Now, I mention this only to make the point that it should not take Christians of any era or knowledge of an 18th century French philosopher, or as Martin Luther King put it, we are all tied to a single garment of destiny bound together in an inescapable network of mutuality. Shouldn't take all of that to know that it is in your best interest to love your neighbor as yourself. It's in your best interest to love your neighbor as yourself. But I stand here this morning trying to make a point about having a spiritual North Star. You see, a spiritual North Star will save your soul. And now you ought to know by now that I'm not inclined to make statements like that often. But really, a spiritual North Star will save your soul. A spiritual North Star will save your relationships. A spiritual North Star will save this planet. In days gone by, it was not uncommon to hear and see preachers and churches shout loudly, Jesus saves. But I'm standing here this morning trying to make a point about having a spiritual North Star. In the lesson, Jesus begins his response to the scribe with, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You see, Jesus was speaking against the backdrop of other religions, religions that were polytheistic, that worshiped many gods. Jesus was speaking against the backdrop of a Roman culture that had multiple gods and goddesses. You've heard their names, Zeus, Athena, Hera, Apollo, Diana, Vestra, Vulcan, and so on. And in Roman culture, even the emperor was designated as a god of sorts. Jesus wanted it known that as you consider the commandments, remember that there is only one God to be worshiped. Jesus wanted it known that there was only one God to be worshiped. And once you understand that, you're then in a good position to embrace your spiritual North Star. After Jesus shares the great commandment with the scribe repeats the two great commandments back to Jesus. And Jesus says to this scribe, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Now, you should not have to think about this too hard, but I'll spell it out for you. If you want to get close to the kingdom of God, you've got to follow the spiritual North Star of love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. King says, Martin Luther King Jr. says, I believe that unarmed truth armed with unconditional love will have the final word in reality. So now I figured a good way to close a sermon with the title and the theme Spiritual North Star would be to offer you a few lines from the song Jesus is the Light of the World. The words are, All ye saints of lights proclaim, Jesus, the light of the world. Life and mercy in his name, Jesus, the light of the world. The third stanza says, Why not seek him then today, Jesus, the light of the world? Go with truth the narrow way, Jesus, the light of the world. And the refrain that I love so much, we'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. I ask now that the church might say amen. Our liturgist will now lead us in the Apostles' Creed.
Let us say what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he arose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
At this point, I want to solicit any prayer concerns that you might have. Are there any prayer concerns or any joys to share?
I just want to share a joy. Robert's sister and family came into town for the weekend to visit us to celebrate his 80th birthday, which is tomorrow.
Amen. Amen.
I'd like to ask for some prayers. My son and his family bought a new house last December, and of course, these rains in the last few weeks were a little more than anyone expected. Their house was built in the 1800s, and he has discovered huge leaks in the garage roof and leaks in the basement, and I would ask for prayers that these can be resolved without any real damage to the rest of the property and to his bank account.
Amen, amen.
Please continue to pray for John, my husband. He's still in the hospital, and we're going to have to make some decisions that about his, whether he comes home or whether he goes to a facility from there. So keep him in your prayers and help us to make a wise decision.
Amen. Amen. Are there others? Yeah, I have one joy was called to my attention, and that is that Marge Crum has celebrated her 98th birthday on October 19th. So happy birthday, Marge, and wishing you many more. God bless you. God bless you. Let us bow our heads now briefly for a brief moment of prayer. Eternal God, we humbly bow our heads, close our eyes, seeking once again to connect with you, seeking once again to discover in that connection the warmth and the love that you have for each and every one of us, a warmth and a love that comes with mercy, that comes with grace, that comes with forgiveness. We seek to know your love, dear God, in an intimate way and in a very, very certain way, that you, dear Lord, love us, that it is indeed true, dear God, that you will never leave us or forsake us. So we thank you, dear God, for this chance to bow our hearts, bow our heads, humble our hearts, and connect with you mind to mind, spirit to spirit. Yes, dear God, we come to you thankful for this privilege of prayer, and also thank you, dear God, for all that you've done and all that you're doing and all that awaits each and every one of us in our futures. Trusting, dear God, that you will love us no matter what the circumstance. Trusting, dear God, that even in the midst of rain, that we know, dear God, that behind the clouds, there's always sunshine. The sunshine of your love lighting a path of warmth and compassion. So thank you, dear God, for all that you do to us to hold us up and keep us in your hands. So yes, dear God, we come to you with thanks and with praise. But dear Lord, more than those thanks and praise for the things that we can touch and see, we thank you, dear God, for sending your Son, Jesus the Christ, to walk among us and to teach us how to live, to remind us that the greatest commandment is to love you, that following that, the greatest commandment is to love our neighbor. We thank you for that, dear God, for we know that if we can be faithful to your commandments, we will have a hand in building your kingdom here on earth. So yes, dear God, we say thank you. But even as we come to you with thanks, dear Lord, we come to you with some uncertainties. And it's basically we are uncertain because we are still learning to trust you. We are uncertain about the health and well-being of our loved ones who may be shut in or may be in hospitals or unable to leave their homes. Yes, dear Lord, we come to you with praying for them and asking, dear God, that you would lift their hearts and grant them the peace that passes all understanding to know that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord. So, dear Lord, we want to proclaim this morning that we love you. So, dear Lord, we just simply want to say once again, thank you for all that you've done and thank you for all that you are yet to do. And we ask, dear Lord, that the prayers spoken and also the prayers unspoken, that you will take and receive each and every one of them unto your heart. And in act, once you have received them, dear Lord, that your loving will shall be done. So we ask, dear Lord, that we'll know your peace and we'll know your love. And we ask this in all prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. And it's for his sake we, the people, all said together, amen. The disciples came to Jesus and said, Master, how shall we pray? And Jesus turned to his disciples and he said to them, when you pray, pray in this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven. At this point, I just want to remind you again that you can mail your gifts into the office or you can click the Give button on the Webster Presbyterian Church website. And now, the doxology.
And now let us join together in our final hymn, More Love to Thee, O Christ, 359.
Gracious, eternal, and everlasting God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and to worship you. We thank you, dear Lord, once again for this opportunity to be reminded that we are called to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, and with all our strength. We thank you, dear Lord, for this reminder that we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. So we ask, dear Lord, that you would dismiss us with this embodied and locked into our spirits. Dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. It's in Jesus' name, and for his sake, the people all said together, Amen.